Hey, greetings. This is Jim at DontParish.com, John 4:24 radio. I've got an unbiblical teacher's testing for you, and I'm kind of battling a cold. I hope my voice holds out for this. A man had contacted me from the West Coast and sent me an article by a man named Mike Atnip that he claims is a true believer in the faith. Sadly, this man showed he was very deceived by the theology in this article, and so I thought we needed to do an article about it. I actually reached out to Mike Atnip. He's an Anabaptist writer, and the email conversation didn't go well. And so this testing is a result of that, because he did not see fit to see through to God's truth. He claims these false ways, so we need to bring this out. Now, I want to make something very clear at the beginning. We at DontParish, if you're an Anabaptist and you're listening to this, we at DontParish are not worldly, carnal people who live like the devil just because Christ took away our sins. That's what many Protestants do today. No, we're set apart. Our ladies are head covered. We're out of the world. We're out of the Protestant ways and evangelical ways. We repented of all that. We're living holy and set apart. No television, no culture, no fashion. Biblical in all ways that we can find. Leaving all pagan ways and striving for the fullness of God's kingdom as we do that, following God's word. So we just wanted you to know that. Now, while we agree with much of what Mike and other Anabaptists practice and teach, we must call out the sin and error when it is being taught as so-called truth. We saw huge warning signs in this article right away, and they really do need to be exposed. We decided to do a biblical testing of it and post it here to warn others of its false ways. As I said, I did reach out to Mike. It didn't go well. Rather than deal with the biblical issues around the article that I documented, Mike admits he kind of poked back at me, poked at my website. And in a very ungodly way, he twisted the truth about our website and tried to get my flesh to rile up. It didn't work. That shows that he really does not have an understanding of the biblical context why I contacted him. He also used 1 John 4, saying he was testing my spirit. 1 John 4 is about anyone who denies Christ came in the flesh from God. Mike knows I don't deny that, so that was kind of strange. He tried to make it a smokescreen to get off the subject of his ill teaching, but again, it didn't work. And so this testing is the result of that. Now, what I first found interesting and massive hypocrisy about Mike Atnip is this. When I tested him, he told me I was wrong to focus on the errors of other versus just teaching God's goodness. Fact, Mike is writing an entire book that exposes evangelical Protestant theology. I've never written a whole book that does one thing. Our website is compiled of hundreds of teaching articles and audios, and yes, an unbiblical teacher site, but Mike's writing a whole book about it, and he tells me I'm too focused on one thing. Interesting. Mike told me my gospel is wrong, as I do not preach the gospel of the kingdom. And a lot of that is loving God and loving your neighbor. Well, I asked Mike, is he truly loving his neighbor? Does he go to those evangelical places that he writes about, Lutheran, Baptist, Methodist? And does he confront the false teachers in the pulpit? And does he share the life-saving truth with those caught in its lies? No, the fact is Mike doesn't go to those places. So is he really loving his neighbor, or is he letting them go to hell as they practice false religion? Something to think about. Mike told me I should not expose others without a period of weeping, praying, and fasting. Well, I guess I could kind of agree with that. But fact, Mike emailed me back to poke at my website and my flesh and call out my claimed errors less than 24 hours after I emailed him and he ever knew about me. That tells me Mike must be a really fast weeper, prayer, and faster. I don't know, I'm just saying. He reminds me of the folks who cry out, "You shall not judge," as they're harshly judging you. So those were some hypocritical things I saw at the beginning, and I wanted to make that clear. Moving on, this is the testing of Mike Atnip that we need to warn others about. After reading his article, this is what I find. He uses very few scriptures to frame his theology. He lifts up Roman Catholic and Orthodox ways, and he lifts up early Christian writers equally inspired to God's word, just by how he phrases things. This is the most dangerous of all, I think. He downplays the cross and the blood of Christ and lifts up the Sermon on the Mount and the gospel of the kingdom, as he calls it, as his true gospel. He also laughed a lot in the article about being called a heretic, which is really no joking matter, is it? I don't think so. Now, Mike has the usual Anabaptist way of focusing on the red letters of the Bible. That would be Jesus' words. Now, he preaches the gospel of the kingdom as his main gospel. It's obvious to see that Mike, like many Anabaptist types we've known and talked to and tested, have jumped from the ditch of the sinful, unbiblical reformers, and they were sinful and unbiblical, and they've run across the street of truth right into the ditch of a works-based righteousness, and we'll discuss that a little bit more. While it may be sound, while it may sound spiritual to focus on the gospel of the kingdom only, it really is an incomplete gospel when you read the rest of the New Testament. The Apostle Paul, called by Jesus Christ himself, preaches the kingdom in the cross of Christ. And here's a fact, he never once uses the term gospel of the kingdom. I mentioned that to Mike and he didn't have an answer for that. In fact, the Apostle Paul uses the term kingdom of God 19 times in the New Testament, but not the gospel of the kingdom even once. Paul uses the word gospel many, many times, and it's always associated with the cross of Christ that leads us to God's kingdom. This fact alone exposes Mike's man-made Christ-light theology, I call it. It's Christ-light theology, or the cross-light theology, I should say. We're all for the kingdom of God, and of course, we believe in the kingdom of God. The Bible says it's within us, but the kingdom of God must include one that has the gospel of the cross of Christ, lest no man will enter the kingdom of heaven. So this is a very dangerous thing to be warned of. Now, in the article, Mike basically says that Protestants have three main things wrong. Again, we don't agree with Protestants. This is not about defending Protestants. This is about exposing the false teachings of Mike Adnip. Well, we too see the many sins in the Protestant ways. In fact, we left them years ago, as I said. We need to look at the three points that Mike's talking about and test them. Number one, justification. Mike says it means to turn a unjust thing into a just thing, not to declare one forgiven. Now, note, he's focused more on the work of how to be justified yourself versus the act of God doing it through Christ. That's very important. This can all be cleared up if we go to the Greek root word. The Greek root word is dikaiosis. It really, in fact, means when you look at Romans 4:25, Romans 5:16, and 18, it means to be acquitted. So it really does mean exactly what it says, that we are acquitted by God through the work of Christ at the cross. It seems Mike's theology is a works-based system because he overlooks the cross and Christ's debt, and he focuses on doing the works of the gospel of the kingdom. It just doesn't line up with God's full word. While we agree good works and holiness clearly follow true saints as fruit there of God, of course, Mike has put the kind of theological cart in front of the horse, and he puts down and he downplays the death of Christ for the righteousness of man's sins, and we will prove that below. This is more just heresy that we're trying to expose here. And this is important stuff. Now, number two, imputed righteousness. Mike states, nowhere does the Bible say we get Christ's righteousness imputed to us. He actually mocks and he laughs at this idea. Now, while we will admit there's not one Bible verse that says we get imputed righteousness, it's much like the concept of the Trinity. If we have, if we look at God's word, we'll see that we have no one verse saying it completely. But if we look at multiple verses, we see the concept of it. This is what we see with imputed righteousness, and we see that it is true and it is found in God's word. Romans 4:24 says this, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised our Lord Jesus from the dead. So we will be imputed something, okay, because of our faith. Well, what will be imputed? 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So if we take God's word and put it together, clearly we see that we are imputed something we can't earn for ourselves. What is it, Mike Adnan? It's a righteous standing before God. So, excuse me, Mike denies this, and thus he has to focus on a works-based salvation system that can't save anyone. Because some claim believers have gone into the ditch of lawless, sinful, antinomianist living, Mike and some Anabaptists have found another ditch in works-based righteousness by denying the righteousness of Christ. Again, more heresy alarms are going off on this. Number three, penal substitutionary atonement. Okay? Mike clearly denies the death of Christ for the sins of man. He states this, quote, "But did you know the whole idea that Jesus died as a substitute for you on the cross, taking the punishment that you deserve so that God's wrath could be satisfied, is a theory?" End of quotes. A theory, Mike? Interesting. I'm not sure what Bible he's reading. He's ignored the Holy Scriptures. Let's see. What about 2 Corinthians 5:21? We just read it. "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made into the righteousness of God." Or how about John 1, verse 29. "And the next day, John, seeing Jesus come unto him, saith, Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." Or how about the famous verse, Isaiah 53, that states many times what Christ did for his people. It says this, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have scattered and turned to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He has oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, he is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as sheep before the shearers is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. He has taken from prison, from judgment, who shall declare his generation? He was cut off and out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit found in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." I don't think Mike is reading God's word. If you read Isaiah 53, you clearly see what Christ did. Also, go to our teaching blog at don'tperish.com and look up an article on "Was Christ punished on the cross?" And it lays it out clearly that he was. So Mike denies what God's word clearly is teaching. He even says and goes so far to say, look up atonement theories on the internet. Well, sadly, if you do that, the ransom theory that he seems to hold to, it has absolutely zero biblical evidence of it. It actually gives Satan the power over God, and it's really just more rank heresy of Mike Adnan. Mike's article says this, quote, "God in his love and mercy saw humanity in bonds and sent Jesus to ransom humanity and procure liberty for him." Excuse me. "There was a battle and Jesus won, or alternatively, Jesus paid a ransom to Satan for the release. Humanity was freed from Satan, and at one end with God once again." The official title for this type of thinking is Christus Victor, or Jesus the Victor, end of quotes. Did you read that? No scripture, all conjecture, man-made theology, while he rejects the word of God. Mike says the Bible says Christ did not pay a sin debt for mankind. Folks, that is just more heresy. Mike knows what he's doing, though. He even jokes about being called a heretic in the article, which, again, it's no true laughing matter to a true man of God. Scripture does indeed teach that Christ was our lamb via his blood shed for us. Let me read to you Hebrews 9. But Christ come as a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled the unclean sanctify it through the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he is mediator of a new testament by that means of death for the redemption for the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where is a testament, there is also a necessity be the death of the tester. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the tester lives. Whereon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept, all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled the blood, both the tabernacle, all the vessels of the ministry, and also all things are by law purged with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. That's a very important verse, Hebrews 9:22. Remember that. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet he should offer himself often, as the priest entereth in the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto once men to die after this judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall appear a second time without sin unto salvation. See, Mike shows again he does not understand biblical context. He disregards God's word. If you could read Hebrews 9 and not see the sacrifice of Christ at the cross for mankind, you're blind. You're spiritually blind. Mike also shows out of biblical context when he uses the parable of a man owed money in Matthew 18, saying the king forgave the debt without any payment being made. Mike fails to realize the context of it all. Jesus was teaching Peter how to forgive others. That's what we do. We forgive. We don't ask for a debt to be paid. It has nothing to do with the holiness and the justice and the law of God that requires a payment for sin, as Scripture clearly teaches. No remission of sin without the shedding of blood. Mike Atnip totally seems to ignore this. Mike doubles down in heresy and says, Christ came to take away our sins, not to forgive them. But he gives zero scriptures for this view. God's word clearly says this. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 2:13, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he quickened together with him, hath forgiven you all trespasses. Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from unrighteousness. But Mike says he didn't come to forgive your sins. Well, that's not what God's word says. Mike Atnip says this, quote, Jesus died on a cross to satisfy God's wrath. Teaching is not changed. Mike says in the Jesus died on the cross to satisfy God's wrath teaching, man is not changed in the process. In fact, God is changed, not man. Think about it. If you have a court trial with a guilty man and an angry God, Mike says, Jesus intercedes and offers to take the punishment. So God takes out his wrath on Jesus, killing him on the cross in the process. Not that the penalty has been paid, and God's wrath, now that the penalty has been paid, God's wrath has been satisfied. Man can be at one with God, atoned. But who got converted in the process, man or God? And God did. He was converted from an angry God to a satisfied God. Again, Mike shows no sense of biblical concepts here, and he misses two huge points. He misses the point about the entire Old Testament teaching about God's law, man's sin, a bloodshed needed, and the requirement for that, and the foretelling of Christ coming to deal with that sin once and for all. And two, Mike forgets about the new birth and new creation that comes when you repent of your sins and you're born again. John 3:3, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Man is indeed changed by the act of Christ. Peter says that's the power of God, is the transformed life. Has Mike Atnip not experienced this new birth? I have to wonder. Mike also says this, quote, "Is God so hard-hearted that he cannot forgive someone unless he first whoop out his anger on somebody? He expects more than that from us folks. Let's think about what we're teaching. It makes us think God is against us instead of for us," end of quotes. You know, we got to be careful here. Mike Atnip, even though he's an Anabaptist and we agree with him on various things, he's bringing out some emergent false church mindsets here. Men like Rob Bell, the heretic, also say that an angry God had to whoop up on Christ. This isn't right. Read your Bible. It's exactly what the Bible says. Christ went to the cross for the sins of many because God required it and it pleased him to bruise him. You know, in all of this, Mr. Atnip totally dismantles the holy righteousness and just character and nature of God to suit an ill man-made theology. Mike has missed scriptures that tell us without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Hebrews 9:22. Mike says this, quote, "God was not threatening Adam with punishment. He was warning Adam of consequences. God simply warned Adam that if he disobeyed, he would have to leave him on his own. But because God and willful sin cannot dwell together, impossible. So God was warning Adam of the consequences of disobedience, not threatening him with punishment. So Adam sinned willfully, and God had to separate from him. God left Adam's spirit, and Adam's spirit died that day, that very day. Later, Adam also died physically." End of quote. Folks, again, the problem, no Bible scriptures here. This is all man-made theology. Where does the Bible say Adam's spirit died that day? It doesn't. It just doesn't say that. Clearly, God meant you will die in the future due to your sin. And God did indeed punish them. He punished Satan. He punished the woman. And he punished man. Mike needs to read the book of Genesis, really. It's pretty sad. Mike says this, quote, "But then came Jesus. He came to forgive sins and to give it more abundantly." Or did he? No, he came to give life. This is the very fundamental aspect we need to remember about salvation. Jesus did not come to earth so that we could be forgiven. He came to enliven, quicken. He came to restore humanity to life that Adam had before the fall. He came to at one us with God. He likes that at one instead of atone. End of quote. Again, no scriptures. It's all Mike Atnip theology. It's dangerous stuff. Christ did come to bring life, and he did it through his life, death, burial, and resurrection. We find that life and that peace with God through Christ, not through the gospel of the kingdom, which is doing good works. We don't find peace with God through good works. Good works are the result of and fruit of finding peace with God through Christ. Mike really seems to miss this. Another Mike Atnip quote, "The early church fathers focused on the resurrection, not Jesus' death on the cross. I think I could safely say the Antonicene fathers, wrote five times more about the resurrection than about the death of Jesus on the cross. The reason Jesus had to die on the cross? So he could resurrect. You can't resurrect if you're not dead, so Jesus had to die." End of quote. Again, Mike misses the blood sacrifice, the whole reason Christ came. He only had to die because he had to die so he could rise again. This is heresy, folks. This is rank, rank heresy. Don't be deceived by it. Again, he ignores a blood payment. All right. He makes the fatal mistake of lifting up uninspired men in the later centuries. He even goes as far as he promotes the Orthodox faith. He promotes and speaks positively about Roman Catholic Orthodox ways like theosis. This is heresy. It's troubling indeed. We're to cling to God's word and not the men that were uninspired in the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th centuries that eventually led the world into the apostate Roman Catholic system of heresy. Apparently, Mike has no problem with that, it seems. Paul, the Apostle Paul, clearly said we are to proclaim Christ's death. Go read 1 Corinthians 11. Then I challenge you, go look at Paul's teaching on the cross and the gospel. It's all about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, proving Mike Atnip wrong once again. Remember, Paul was trained by Jesus, called by Jesus, and not once does Paul ever use the gospel of the kingdom. Mike had no good answer for this when I emailed him. Paul does speak of the kingdom of God, and it's always in the present tense, and it's always through the cross of Christ that we enter into a relationship with God, not through the gospel of the kingdom and good works alone. To be clear, we agree that Paul and Jesus did preach the same gospel good news. It was how God ordained us to live and how man could find his way back to God, the Creator. But we can't lose sight of this fact that Paul had the task of preaching after Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. So indeed, Paul would preach the full gospel, which is the cross, the good news. Jesus actually hinted of that before he died. No one would have known what he was talking about if he preached that before he died. The kingdom of God, oh, it's real indeed. And it did come in who Christ was. It is in his people today within us. And it is coming to earth soon. While we too believe in the kingdom of God and strive to live it out in daily holiness, it's by preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and his blood payment that men can gain entrance into that kingdom. Many Anabaptist types, sadly, seem to think you get there by keeping their man-made traditions in a community, keeping the Sermon on the Mount, the red-letter words, and this is a lie. The full gospel includes the cross, the blood of Christ, and then how to seek after God's kingdom in obedience to that gospel. The Anabaptists have traded off preaching the full word of God and their living to suit their man-made theology and self-preservation communal living that they were forced into. They've got years of this and they can't seem to break out of it. And this is a ditch that they're in and they must be called out. No one will see the kingdom of God without the true gospel being born again. And how does that happen? New life in Christ through his work on the cross. First new life, then the kingdom of God comes in men. In that order, not the other way around, Mike. And you will find the gospel at don'tperish.com or at the article on our Unbiblical Teachers blog about Mike Atnip. And the biblical gospel is faith, repentance, new life, holiness, and obedience as fruit, and you endure in the end. So Christ's cross is the foundation of the gospel, and it all grows from there. What I found is Mike is also a major scripture twister, and here's some proof. He says, quote, on Gethsemane, pleased the Father because he saw his son pass with test with flying colors. The Father was pleased with his son's victory over the bruising, end of quote. No, Isaiah 53, verse 10 says this, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Again, Mike ignores the offering of sin. Very, very heretical. Mike also says this in another quote, because he had proven himself capable of overcoming all sin, he was resurrected to the Father's right hand. Now, this is more man-made theology, no scripture to back it up. Mike misses the fact that Christ fulfilled the redemption of man. He paid a debt, and that is why he went to sit at the right hand of God. It should also be noted that John 1 says, Christ always was with the Father because he is eternal. Mike at times seems very confused. On one hand, in the article, he said, Christ did not come to forgive sins. Then he says this, quote, in fact, he even forgave those who unrighteously killed him. Which is it, Mike? Did he come for forgiveness or not to forgive? Mike says this, quote, because if he was not capable of overcoming sin in his own walk on earth, he was in no way qualified to pour out his spirit into the hearts of dead men to help them overcome also. So he had to run the gauntlet, so to speak, end of quote. Again, alert, no scriptures for this idea. It's a man-made theology. I say this to Mike, Jesus was God. He was there as God, flesh and God in the spirit. Was there ever a doubt that God, Jesus in the flesh, could and would overcome sin in that human form? Mike alludes there was a doubt. More heresy. If you ever have a doubt that God can overcome any sin, you have a false God. Mr. Atnip is teaching a false Jesus. And that is what I really fear, and that's why I'm doing this testing. What you see at the end of the sad testing is a man, Mike Atnip, with a common dwelling Anabaptist theology that looks much like this. You live in closed, tight-knit communities, following man-made traditions that are not found in the scriptures, and the writings of uninspired men versus keeping the full word of God. Two, you strive hard on some matters of the word, red letter, and ignore others totally as it fits your man-made Anabaptist system. Three, you live without the true gospel of his death, bloodshed, and new life resurrection that is shown by a new life and good works in him. Four, you moralize others with red letter sermon on the Mount ways versus preaching about his death, burial, resurrection, his payment of sin, and repentance, the biblical gospel. Five, you ignore what he's done for you at the cross as you work to be made righteous versus receiving his righteousness, then showing your good works as fruit. Sadly, Mike Atnip and those like him prove this out so well. Please hear me. We don't believe in lawless, sinful living if you're a Christian. Of course you live a biblical, godly, righteous, law-abiding, New Testament law-abiding life. That's not the point. The point is, none of us could work hard enough, could keep Sermon on the Mount attitudes enough. None of us could be good enough to enter the kingdom of heaven, like Mike Atnip is teaching. Jesus said, your righteousness must surpass the Pharisees. The only way our righteousness will ever surpass the Pharisees is if we have it from Christ and what he did. That's very important. You know, these Anabaptists are poster people for the Pharisees of the day. While they look all religious, moral, and upright on the outside, often we find as we witness to them, their hearts are dark, they're lifeless, and true new life that the biblical gospel gives them is not in them. As Mark 7, verses 6 and 9 says, Jesus answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it's written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. How being in vain they worship me, teaching for the doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such things you do. And he said unto them, full well you reject the commandments of God, that you may keep your own traditions. I fear Mike Atnip and many Anabaptists like him have done this. He's off teaching ill traditions and theology of man that are denying the very free gift of God, the blood offering of Christ, the cross, the gospel good news via his death, burial, and resurrection. And that angers the Lord. Mr. Atnip seems very confused at times. Mike told me more people agree with him than agree with me when I emailed him. Well, using that sad marker for truth, that means Islam has more truth than the Anabaptists, because there's a lot more Islam's people in Islam than Anabaptist people. That's plain silliness. Jesus said that, and Paul said, the days will get darker in the last days. More people will leave the truth. Jesus said in Matthew 7, few will find the narrow road. Where does Mike think that being in the big numbers means you're in truth? It's just more example of his false theological way. So don't buy it. Don't go for it. It's more silliness out of a man who claims the truth of God, but he does not cling to all of the word of God. I think I've shown you using God's word that Mike's article on the Protestant movement and the wrongs that they have, and oh, they have many wrongs, Mike has it wrong about justification, imputed righteousness, and the substitutionary atonement. I hope this article has helped you. Go to our Unbiblical Teachers blog from don'tperish.com. There is an article written that I did this audio from. Go to our teaching blog. Will help you in many, many, many hundreds of topics in the Christian faith. Go to our John 4:24 audio. You're listening to one here. hundreds of articles to help you in that. That's why we do this. We love people. We love Mike Atnip. We hope he repents, but he's teaching falsely, and I ended our email conversation, and I can have nothing to do with him until he repents, per Romans 16, 17, Titus 3, many others. But he needs to be called out as he's teaching these damnable heresies and false gospels. Apostle Paul said in Galatians 1, if you preach another gospel, it's a false gospel and you're accursed. Go read the writings of Apostle Paul. He preached the cross, death, burial, resurrection of Christ. Never mentioned once the gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom of God has come inside people who are God's people and will come as Christ brings his kingdom to earth. Don't be fooled by Anabaptist false teachers. Thanks for listening. Let me know how I can help you. Go to don'tperish.com. Go to our other resources. Till next time, have a glorious day. May God be praised.